Great morning, great afternoon, people of God. I pray that your day is well. I pray that the favor of the Lord meets and greet you today. I am truly excited about what the Lord is going to do on the teaching line today. I do want to welcome you to the Women of Warren County Teaching and Prayer Line. This line is designed to train and educate, activate, and deploy men and women of God into the battlefield to win souls for the Lord. I am elated about what the Father is doing and excited. It is 12 noon. I believe in being prompt. We have a lot of information to cover. We have been dealing with for the last several months, a little bit longer perhaps, particularly with leadership. It's a passion of mine. It's something that the Lord laid deep into my spirit to deal with leadership, to encourage, to strengthen, impart, teach, train leadership so that we can be the best that we can be for the people of God and the people that we lead. And therefore, today's lesson where we're going to be coming from, and for those of you who have may need to go back to teachings, we did record several of other teachings last weekend, week before last, and we'll have a teaching coming up on the 19th at 10 a.m. as well, so you can go back and get the recording. But today, I want to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord and do what the Father has asked me to do pertaining to leadership. And so we're going to be coming from 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 4. We're going to deal with that particular scripture, and our theme topic is what we're going to be discussing today, would be natural and spiritual leadership. Now, those of you that know me know that I do not start a lesson without praying and all of that. I've already done that. I've been interceding and making supplications all morning long, and this is the first time I've been where I was not praying. So we're ready to go directly into the lesson. The word of the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 through 4 says this, Brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And as I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And that particular scripture is what we want to focus on. I want to read it also from another translation, and it reads like this. It says, you'll remember, friends, that when I first came to you to let you in on God's master stroke, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did, Jesus crucified. And so, and then he goes on and said, I was unsure of how to go about this and felt totally inadequate. I was scared to death, if you want the truth of it. And so nothing I said could have impressed you or anyone else. But the message came through anyway. God's Spirit and God's power did it, which made it clear that your life of faith is a response to God's power, not to some fancy mental or emotional footwork by me or anyone else. And so when the Lord gave that particular scripture to me as it relates to natural and spiritual leadership, one of the things that I do want to be clear and to understand and know is that natural abilities are important as it relates to leadership. I've often said this, that sometimes we become so spiritual minded that, you know, sometimes we're no earthly good, and everything that was given to us, be it natural talents or gifts or whatever, was given to us by God. And as leaders, sometimes we forget that. And so I want to encourage you in the teaching today and go into the lesson, because I'm very passionate about it. Even as a leader who worked in the corporate America and in the secular world, the ND gifts that God gave me from birth came into play then. It wasn't until the born again experience that it became clear as to why those gifts never went away, but they were turned over or surrendered to God once I became saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. So when he said, I came to you, my message and preaching were not wise and persuasive words, but with demonstration of the Holy Spirit. One thing leadership need to be aware is that we have influence. Leadership is influence, and we have influence. We have the ability to influence a person. We have the ability to shape and form people's lives. And it's important to understand that level of power that God has given to us. The ability that one person has in their hand to lead others is powerful in itself. We must understand, however, that power is, if that power is used inappropriately, it can destroy people's lives. We as leaders must truly take into account the amount of power God has invested in us through the Holy Spirit. In the natural, great men and women understood the influence of the power that was invested in them. And I did, even when I was working. Even though the job that I did truly should have been done by a licensed RN with much more years of experience, but because of the favor of God on my life and what he put inside of me as a person who is very organized and methodical and systematic, he knew that that position of influence was important. I was also a gatekeeper to the finances in the company that I worked for. And so it was interesting at that time that I was granted that, but later on I understood that that was the will of God, that he wanted me in that influential place to influence the way business was conducted in the company that I worked for. Men and women in the natural realm truly understand that. A lot of times when I'm teaching, I always try to give you my account and my experience in it and how God dealt with me. And a lot of this training and teaching are things that the Lord shared with me, but there are also places that I pulled from that I thought would be a blessing to leaders as it blessed me over the years, because I studied extensively about leadership because I want to be the leader that God called me to be in. So there was a military leader. His name was Bernard Montgomery, and he said this about leadership, and this is a direct quote from him. Leadership is the capacity and will to rally men and women to a common purpose and character which inspires confidence. Leadership is the capacity and will to rally men and women to a common purpose and the character which inspires confidence. In other words, what he's saying is that influential leadership has the ability to rally men and women to do things that they do not want to do, but do it with godly character and with confidence so that it inspires others to get on board. One of the perfect examples I love it because it's also a personal study that the Lord has led me into, but Moses, he was an excellent example of supernatural leadership in rallying 2.4 million people to leave slavery. That's some influence. When you have 2.4 million people, if not more, who have been in a place for many years and decades, have become accustomed to the culture, have been accustomed to mindsets and system and ways of doing things, you have one man who came into the system, learned the system, very old now, and God raises him up and says, I need you to rally 2.4 million people to leave slavery. That's influence, and that's supernatural, and that's power. I put that example in for us to understand as leadership that loose words, loose training, loose teaching can mess someone's life up. And we have to be very, very serious and very, very careful and slow to speak when we're dealing with God's people. Had Moses missed it, had he not understood the level of power that God had invested in him over the years, he would have made a mistake that probably wouldn't have been written in our Bible right now. That's just my thought. But the point that I'm trying to make is that leadership have influence, and we have the ability through the supernatural spirit realm to get people to do what God wants them to do, and it takes wisdom to do that. It takes the mind of God. It takes the character of God. It takes the love of God and for God's people to want to see God's people moving forward and toward the things of God. So who can rally or inspire to leave sin and the world and to give their life to Christ? This is important to find out as we go into different territories. We need to understand who God has raised up to lead people out of sin and the world. We need to understand that we know that Christ is our ultimate example, and he freely gave unto us that same ability to be able to lead people out of sin and the world and to lead them to the light and to Christ. So we need to find out, and we need to know that when we enter into territories, this is important for you to understand when you go in and minister in territories that you have not ministered in. You need to know your territory, and you need to know who you're coming for and who will respond to the message of hope, the message of change, the message of redemption, the message that God has given to you. So there are three kinds of people. There are movable people, there are immovable people, and those who move them. There are movable people, there are immovable people, and those who move them. In other words, there are those that have a mindset that Michelle King can move me, and they'll move. And then there are people that will come and say, she can't move me one way or another. Period, point blank. I don't care what she says. I'm not moving. And then there are those who move them. In other words, there are people that will show up on the scene that will cause them to think, to revamp, to realign, cause restoration. It will cause them. And so we need to know our group. We need to know our territory. We'll focus on those that are movable, and we'll focus on sending in the person that can move them, orchestrated of the Holy Spirit. This alleviates and deviates competition. It takes away jealousy. It takes away people who want to move in flesh. It takes away arrogance and pride. It takes away anything that can be done in the flesh. This is why it's important to know who are leaders and who need to be sent in on certain assignments. There are certain assignments that I know that God did not call me into, because those people will not respond to me. I cannot move them no matter how God moves through me. They are stuck, and it's on purpose. They are not going to move. And then there are people that will simply respond because of character and integrity on my life, and they have seen the work of God in my life, and I can move them. And then there are some people that God will give me the wisdom to speak a prophetic word or to preach a message, and that will move them to compassion, to repentance, to change, to forgiveness. But we need to know. We need to know. We can't just go off in settings because they called us to preach, and then when the enemy buck up against us and people don't respond, we get angry and we call them, you know, religious or demonic or whatever the case might be. No, you need to give some thought into, is this where God is calling me, and then what is this territory? When I was going into minister a couple of weeks ago, I needed to know my territory. And I did something that I normally don't do. I went in before I was to minister, and God showed me what I was dealing with. Sometimes the territory is not necessarily the sheep. Sometimes the territory is the shepherd sheep. Sometimes the territory is the shepherd sheep, and we need to know. So there are those who have their false opinions and examples of leaders. But I believe that every leader is equipped according to assignments and anointing and class of people. God knows what his people need and who to send in to get it done. And he really does. If we consult him, then God will let us know, no, I don't need you. There are certain assignments that even prayer assignments that the Lord said, no, you can't go into that territory. This class of people is not ready for what is invested in you. You need to send someone else in that may not be as hammer-like, because I know that there are times when God sent me in to pray, to break up the territory, and I said this in the last teaching, and you're hearing in many teachings, God had to teach me compassion and mercy and not to throw the baby out with the water. And so we need to know our assignments and our anointings, and we need to know that if God sends us in to minister, to lead, first of all, we don't leave parallel, and secondly, we know that God has anointed us and equipped us to the class of people that we're going to enter into, and we need to focus on that group of people because that is our assignment, and that is where the anointing of God will flow in that area so that we're successful. God knows what his people need, and he knows who to send in to get it. This will help us understand our measure and grace when it comes to our assignment with others. Everybody is not called to the hungry, but the leader that is called is also graced to do it, and they're able to pull together other like-minded people that are graced to get the job done. I put that in there because sometimes as leaders, when God calls us to a specific thing, we want to pass it off to someone else because they have a liking or they have a level of passion to get it done. But if you are not grace, if you don't have the supernatural ability to get it done, then those people will soon abandon the mission. They will soon abandon it. It's nothing wrong with people liking. There's nothing wrong with people coming alongside and assignments that God has given us. But we need to look for people that are like-minded and grace to get the job done, because they also offer a perspective on things that you might miss. This is why teams are important. No, you can't do this by yourself. Teams are important, but you have to have like-minded people on the team that's willing to get it done. If you're dealing with the homeless, let's just say that. Well, let me go with a place that I know. If you're dealing with people who have dealt in poverty and hunger, you don't send somebody in that has never in a day's time been hungry, because they won't understand the psyche. They won't understand the irritation, the crankiness of those people who've been in poverty and hungry. So you have to find someone that's like-minded. Now, that person might be good in the administrative room by themselves, away from the poverty-stricken people and the hungry people. They may be very good to input information or assessment or whatever the case might be, but by no means do they need to be dealing directly when they don't have a level of experience and does not understand the mindset behind it. So it'll take away a lot of frustration when we put like-minded people together on assignment. This does not mean that others cannot help you and cannot be a replacement on the team. As I said before, put them in a place where the grace on their life can be effective. And this will root out confusion. Nothing irritates me more than people, leaders placing people, and I've done it, in places where we just wanted to put somebody there, and it caused more confusion than anything else. If it means shutting it down to one day a week feeding the homeless or the hungry and clothing the homeless, then let's do it than to bring somebody in just to have a warm body and tear it apart from the inside out. These are lessons learned. Just to have a warm body in it is not suffice. God wants excellency, and he wants his people ministered to and nurtured and built up. So we have to be careful on who we put into places. And if you just have to have someone in that particular place, make sure they understand from the get-go that this is a temporary position for you, a placement for you, until the person that has been raised up to get it done, get done. This will also let them know that there's a time frame there. And again, it'll root out confusion and jealousy. I have experienced people who just simply like doing kind acts of service and was not graced for a specific area, get angry when the real deal shows up. And as a leader, we need to know how to handle that. And we handle it by simply saying to them, you were here for a length of time, now we can work alongside in a different place where your grace flows according to the assignment. But this particular job, this is the person that God has in place to get that done. And we need to be bold enough to do it. I believe that the ministries of God and the local assemblies are lacking effectiveness in certain areas because we have people that are holding posts and doing things that have not been graced to get it done in that particular area. And I believe that the natural abilities that God has given us and when we were born and once we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I believe that a lot of things are just simply falling apart because these natural abilities, graced with the supernatural, are not being released to do what needs to be done. A lot of things would change in our ministries if we would just simply place people where they need to be. And I also want to say this because the Lord just dropped this in my spirit. Your natural ability is a part of purpose. It's a part of purpose. I can't get away from the fact that I like organization. I like things in order. I like to be able to put my hands on things. I put things where I can come back for them. I take the time to put my lessons together, my scriptures together. I meditate on them. This is not something that I'm teaching you that I just came up with the last few months. This has been years in the making, and they're organized in different places. And if electronics break down, I have printed them out so I can pull them from the written. This is what I mean. A person who is mediocre when it comes to organizational skills will not be able to teach because a teacher job, one of the main jobs of a teacher is to make students of the Word of God. A spiritual teacher, let me say it like that, is to make students of the Word of God. And so I have to have things where I need them. I have to have a place of meditation so that when I teach and train, there's no distraction. So I hope that we're clear. We throw our natural abilities away because we seem to think that because now that we're in the kingdom, they're of no more use. But if I did not take over what God built in me, then the ministry would be a mess right now. And a lot of times, as I said before, it's a lot of things in our ministries and auxiliaries that are a mess because we have thrown natural abilities away that God built on the inside of us. So I hope that that's clear why we started out with natural abilities, because there are some things that are in us naturally that God is going to use in the marketplace. That's going to bring prosperity, and it's going to bring wealth, and it's going to bring money. Prosperity and wealth and money is three different things. We'll talk about that at another time. But just know that if you're so spiritual-minded that your natural abilities that God is giving you are not being utilized, it may be why there's a lot of confusion and a lot of things that's missing in your life that God will want to use in such a time as this. So if I were to give a definition of leadership, I would, you know, use a quote on leadership, and it would be this: spiritual, godly leadership transcends the power of personality and all other natural gifts. Spiritual, godly leadership transcends the power of personality and all other natural gifts. Now, notice that the language changed. At first, I was talking about leadership, but something has happened. We've shifted now, and now we're talking about spiritual, which is breath. God breathes leadership. This transcends personality and all other natural gifts. So we got natural people who have natural gifts trying to do a spiritual job. Can you see the transition? We shifted from your natural ability. Now we're talking about kingdom cultural. We're talking about impact. We're talking about empowerment. Now we're talking about impartation. So there has to be a transition, and the transition is now that God is breathing or has breathed on those indie gifts, those natural abyss gifts, and now they have become supernatural, which means you have the ability through the grace of God to do what is humanly impossible. So now that we're feeding the homeless, now that we're clothing the homeless, and now that we're feeding those that are hungry, we don't look at two slices of bread and a piece of ham and say, we're not going to be able to feed these 5,000. We bow our knees in prayer because the breath of God is in us now. And this is not about personality or our natural gift. This is about the breath of God, the supernatural that's on the inside of us that will consult God and ask God, what do I do to feed these people? Because you've given me this assignment to get it done. And God says, okay, now I see you need help, and I'm here to help. This is the difference. This is the difference that we're looking for. There are people that can get things done, but there are people that can really get things done with nothing and get things done. I hope that makes sense. So godly spiritual leadership transcends the power of personality and all other natural gifts. Self, flesh has no place in godly spiritual leadership because we are empowered by and through the Holy Spirit to conduct business of the kingdom. Now, if you notice, the language changed from natural to spiritual. Flesh cannot even show up on the scene because we've been commissioned and empowered by and through the Holy Spirit to conduct the business of the kingdom. It's kind of like the scripture when he says, occupy until I come. What that translates to is do the business of the kingdom until Christ returns. That's the difference in spiritual and natural. Natural will do it until the check run out. Natural will do it until confusion rises. Natural will do it until they get upset. Natural will do it until the spotlight is not on them. But spiritual will do it if nobody says anything, if nobody gives accolades, if nobody will help. They don't get upset if don't nobody help. They're not on the whining committee. They're not a part of the complaining and murmuring committee. They will tap into the supernatural and get it done for Christ's sake. That's the difference. Another reason self and flesh has no place in spiritual leadership is because leaders need superior spiritual power to lead where there is no such thing of leading. It's some things you like, you don't need a leader there. But those that are spiritual will understand, yeah, because I can see something happening, and we need a little counsel, and we're going to need a little guidance. So when it shows up, we have things already in position. There is no such thing as self-made in anything, especially when it comes to God, the creator of all things, and nothing exists or consists except he has ordained it to be. Spiritual leaders understand that you're not self-made. This is why we cannot, as a community of leaders and believers, cannot work by ourselves. God created us to work in a community and a culture and a kingdom of believers. That's why he called us believers. There's more than one. Natural leaders can lead natural people with no exception of spiritual outcome, with no expectations, I'm sorry, of spiritual outcome. Natural leaders. They will lead anybody. Their expectation will always be natural. But spiritual leaders can lead spiritual people with total expectation of spiritual outcome. We're looking for spiritual outcomes in anything that we do. We're looking for change. We're looking for empowerment. We're looking for salvation. We're looking for healing. We're looking for deliverance. We're looking for reproduction after our own kind. Because we're spiritual beings, we're looking for spiritual results, and we expect spiritual results and outcomes when we're dealing with spiritual people. That which produces flesh comes from the flesh, and that which is of the spirit produces that of the spirit. Spiritual leaders influence spiritual people because they are spiritual. Spiritual leaders influence spiritual people because they are spiritual. The people themselves are spiritual. So when it goes back to the three kinds of people, movable, immovable, and those that move them, you have to understand, are they saved? Are they followers? Are they believers? Or are they born again? If they're born again, then you can look for the spirituality of what's being said and done and exhibited to bring forth change. You can look for it because the people themselves are spiritual. If you're spiritual and you're going in trying to deal with those three classes of people and they're not, then you're going to need the wisdom of God Almighty to break through barriers and mindsets to bring them to a place where the word of the Lord can prick their hearts and agitate them to at least begin to think about change and think about their life as it stands right now. What I love about the prophetic realm and being a prophetic leader, an apostolic prophetic leader, is that apostolic ministries do not go in and try to change the church. I don't go in to try to change the movable, the immovable, or those that who I move. I go in to deal with the heart of man, to get them to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And then those people will change wherever they are, their church, their church system, their work, their job, their home, whatever, they'll do it. So prophetic people don't go and try to change churches. We go in to influence people to hear the heartbeat of God in every situation and lead them back to God as people that can influence the culture that they came out of. You know that it's true because Moses could not go back in under the same level of bondage and mindset that he was in when he was in Pharaoh's court. He would have never been able to influence those people to come out. So there had to be something different about Moses that God would send him back in and know without a shadow of a doubt that he was going to come out with the people that God gave him. So it had to be something supernatural that took place in his life. So if you want to test to see whether you're qualified to lead, check first and see who's following you. Look and see who's following you. If nobody is following you, little comical, if nobody follows you to the store, you might not be a leader. Leaders have followers, regardless whether it's corrupt leadership or godly leadership. Leaders have followers. Then you need to find out what type of people are following you and why. And why? If you want to know what type of leader you are, check to see what kind of people are following you, natural or spiritual. Natural people follow natural leadership. Spiritual people follow spiritual leadership. Now, let me say this. If you are a spiritual leader and you have natural, secular, carnal, unsaved people following you, the presence of God, the anointing of God, the power of God ought to be so strong on your life that those people are now spiritual, following a spiritual leader. Either way it goes, what's in you is what's going to draw. What's in you? If you are a spiritual carnal leader, then you're going to draw spiritual carnal people, which means that they love God, the breath of God is in them, but their thoughts are spiritual, carnal. Every thought is always about the flesh, the thoughts, the natural realm, and things like that. So we need to be very careful. And I also believe that this section of what we're training about will also help leadership to alleviate a lot of stress. Because we're frustrated when people don't do what they're supposed to do. And I am notorious. I love to teach like this because I blame myself and nobody gets angry when I'm teaching. I get upset when people don't do what they're supposed to do and they're saved. I used to get very upset and I find myself now saying, okay, come on. Are they anointed for that spot? Are you just utilizing them for this place right now? We need to know. And so a lot of things that we're frustrated about and we have high expectations and people to perform, it may not necessarily be that they are anointed or assigned in that area. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And they could be anointed, equipped, knowledgeable, successful in other times that they did it, but it may not be that God called them to that particular area right now. Anointing. Assignment comes with anointing, and anointing comes with assignment. Every assignment, I may not even know how to work with the homeless, but God will anoint and raise up. We need to identify who those persons are and not just put people in place because we like them, they're faithful, they're dependable, they always show up. That's all wonderful. But when it comes to the supernatural and the spiritual, they may not be the person for that particular job. And so I hope that blesses someone in that area as it relates to natural and spiritual leadership and understanding the difference. And I hope and pray that the people of God will understand that excellency of words is not going to be the thing that brings forth spiritual understanding. The Apostle Paul was excellent. This talks about true wisdom in 1 Corinthians 2:1-4. The excellency of speech, people have smooth words to try to get into places that they have not been granted access in. They say a whole lot of smooth words, and some of the words were, if I was doing it, well, if you were doing it, then you would not have to say anything about it. God would have raised you up, and you would be doing it. People say smooth things when they want the spotlight on them, but I found that servants of the Lord do not want any spotlight on them. Their word and speech may be raw, it may be cut, they don't deal in philosophy, they don't deal in anything. It's really truly about declaring unto those that are lost the testimonies of God. And the Apostle Paul was perfect. He said, for I'm determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him crucified. I love that because what he's talking about is victory. Even as it relates to assignments, we want victory in every area of our life. What kind of victory? Everything goes back to salvation. Everything goes back to the people of God being made whole. This is why we have to have leaders, and this is why leaders have to now realign, readjust, and take a look again at who's running what and what spirit are they running it in. Praise the Lord. So I bless and honor God for that particular part of the lesson. And again, check. As a leader, you need to check your circle. Some of us are checking it more and more often because of the assignments and the people that God is bringing into our lives to minister to. So some of us have to check a little bit more and make the necessary adjustments even the more. It used to be a time that leadership would have people in position in place for a year. And then, you know, with our ritualistic routine ceremonial things at the end of the year, first of the year, we start electing and voting and casting straws and whatever you want to call it to put people in place, have not considered, meditated, thought about, ask God what his thoughts. The Bible says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me and I will direct your path. You know, every idea is not a good idea. You're finding a lot of merchandising that's going on in the temple of God and the house of God right now because leaders are really at wit's end on how to, you know, bring in whatever's necessary, finances or whatever the case might be. Been there, done that, all of that. This is why I can teach this thing. Been there, done that, all of that. But I'm telling you, without a shadow of a doubt, hear me by the Spirit of the Lord. If you will ask God what to do, God will rechange your entire life. He will change your entire life. He will give you the wisdom, the foresight, the knowledge to place people where they need to be, where they can flow. And you will find things that was in your heart that you've been wanting to do for years that suddenly come into fruition because the right people with the right mindset is around you. I have a particular person that God raised up to be an absolute blessing to my life. I had other people that were there, but they would get frustrated with me because I'm a bit difficult in the sense that I want what I want the way I want it because that's the way God said it. And people get frustrated and they get attitudes and things like that. And I prayed to God and I said, God, I need someone that will understand me, that's built to work closely with me. And even when I'm talking, finish the conversation, and God has sent a person to do it, it alleviates so much off of me right now as a leader. I don't have to worry about it. Even since I've been away, I've been able to text in and say, I need you to do this. I've already done that, and it's already, and Bishop is just stuff. And it's such a blessing to know. So leaders, we got to take a second look, and we got to make sure that the people that are qualified is qualified because of Holy Spirit has assigned them to that assignment, not because they're reliable and faithful. We're looking for effective results. We're looking for change. We're looking for impartation. We're looking for people that can get it done. Well, what if they're good and they're faithful at what they're doing, and I see potential there? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because the next session we're going to talk about is, are leaders born amazed? Are leaders born amazed? And we're going to come from Jeremiah. I believe both. I believe that leaders are born and they are made. We're going to come from Jeremiah 1 and 5. You know it. You know it already. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou, come forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet into the nation. So the key thing, spiritual leaders are predetermined, counsel of the will of God. Spiritual leaders are the predetermined counsel of the will of God. It was his sovereign will for our lives to lead. We didn't stumble into it, nominated for it, elected in. God did it, and he did it on purpose and for his purpose. So we can stop trying to give it back. We can stop going on spiritual fasting, Michelle, acting like we missed it again. We were the predetermined counsel of the will of God. Where you are right now, what you're doing right now, if you know without a shadow of a doubt that when the gates of hell came up against you, the gates of hell did not prevail. It was simply because God had already preordained this and set you aside, not only from the world and Satan, but he set you aside unto him as well to do his sovereign will. And his sovereign will was for us to lead people. Amen. And it's okay to swallow. He did that. Most of the time, he will leave us alone until there's a need for us to come forth. Sometimes crisis will bring us out and bring out our leadership skill. Sometimes lack of leadership in areas will bring out leadership skills. Whatever it is, God knows how. Purpose is this. It's the preordained reason why you are alive, or it's the ultimate reason why you are alive. That's what purpose is. So when God gets ready, he will allow some things to happen. He will allow you to see some things. He will allow whatever. And then he'll say, I need you to go. I need your leadership skills in that area. And that's an awesome thing to know. So we don't have to worry about what to do, when to do. If we allow the predetermined counsel of the will of God to direct us, then we're going to be just fine on every assignment that God gives us. I believe we need to pay more attention to where God places us. For instance, I didn't see how only working two jobs for 30 years was part of my leadership training. I never saw that. In my whole years of working, I only worked two jobs. One of them do not even count. But the other one, I worked for 28 years back in between the two. I had no idea that all of that was a part of my leadership training for where I am right now in 2016. This is why natural ability is important, because it's going to eventually, if it be the will of God, bring you into a spiritual concept toward the end. I didn't know when I started working those jobs that everything I learned was going to be a part of leading, guiding, and running the ministry. Every gift I had was to put to work on my job, even when it came down to patience, endurance, passion, compassion, gentleness, organizational skills, and loyalty. Every part, and particularly in the field that I worked in, because in the medical field, you have to have all of that when you're dealing with clients and patients and sick people and families and all of that. You have to be loyal. You have to have excellent organizational skills. I didn't know that. I didn't work those jobs for money, because in the beginning, there was no money. It wasn't until much later on that God began to bring in finances and things like that. So we really need to understand this thing, that wherever we started out naturally, wherever we started out naturally, it's all a part of the bigger plan of God. It's all a part of the bigger plan of God. I did not know either, too, as God was leading me and teaching me and guiding me, that my expected end would be running the ministry. It never entered my mind that I would be, first of all, saved, second of all, running a ministry and having that level of influence of people in my life. Now, let me say this. And when I was out, you know, not saved, I had influence then. I was the life of the party everywhere I went. The party started and ended. It's not going to be right if you're not there, and all kinds of stuff. That was a natural ability. That was a natural part of me that had not been touched by God yet. So I get some of the same responses in the spirit realm. I hope that I'm making sense to those of you that are on the line, because, again, we have thrown away natural abilities, thinking that they're not useful in the kingdom. Some kind of way, we've allowed the enemy to make us think that natural is not godly, but that's not so. It's not so. Natural abilities do not make great leaders at conversion. They don't. We need to use the abilities that are spiritually built in us so that God can transform us into great leaders. And the way we get transformed is we get converted, and that which was natural becomes supernatural. I hope that makes sense. You need to find out where you are right now. Why are you at your job? Where are you in ministry? What natural ability you have that God is speaking to you right now, saying, I need you to perfect that. I need you to clean that up. I need you to go forth in this. Go make that call, because we're missing it. We're missing it. This is not some weird stuff. And I know that people do not teach this the way that I'm teaching it. And it's okay, because I know that there is a marketplace anointing that God has released, which means that God is getting ready to send us back into places because of a level of influence, the level of experience and wisdom that God has given us. We're getting ready to enter back into the marketplace, whether it's on a job, whether it's our own businesses, entrepreneurship, whatever it is, we're getting ready to make a great impact. And so you need to go back to brushing up those skills, oral communication skills, organizational skills, whatever it is that you did well. You need to go back and revisit that thing. You need to go back to your vision board again. You need to go back to your dream book, your diary, wherever you wrote it at, message in a bottle, whatever. You need to go back, because now that we are supernatural, God is getting ready to turn some things upside down and right side up. Everything points to it right now. You can sense it. You can feel it. You know that God is doing something in us. He's transitioning us, because the level of intolerance, the level of foolishness in leadership positions and places, be it on the national level, federal level, local level, in the church, out of the church, at Walmart, wherever, we are not satisfied with customer service. And the customer happens to be those that are lost in darkness or those that are back. God is going to send us in, because we will not go out. That's what God is doing. Oh, I bless God this morning. And what is God trying to bring you into for the kingdom? What is God trying to do? The last point I want to make in this particular section is that I want us to make sure that as leaders, that we understand that there is a difference. When you're looking, there's a lot of counterfeits in the pulpit that are coming off as spiritual leaders. And so we need to know, what is God trying to show you? It's not that you're self-righteous and judgmental. It's not that, you know, you think you got it going on, or whatever it is that the enemy sees to us We are supernatural beings. We see what God sees. We say what God say. We do what God do, which means that we need to be able to discern what is a natural leader and who natural leaders are drawn to and the people that they're drawn to and what are the characteristics of spiritual leaders. So I wrote down some things that I felt like was important. You can add to your own as God developed this in you and as you ponder this along the way. Natural leaders are self-confident. They know men. They make decisions. They're ambitious. They create methods, enjoy commands, seek personal reward, and they're independent. That's what natural, everything is about self. Connections. It's all about them making the decision. They campaign for themselves. They create methods. They enjoy telling people what to do, and they're always looking for a reward, and they work by themselves. Those are natural leaders. Spiritual leaders are confident in God, knows God, seeks God's will, humble, follow God's example, delights in obedience to God, loves God and others, and they depend on God. Oh, my. Oh, my. So now when we enter into places, particularly the spiritual arena, and this is what I'm talking about in the pulpit now, because there's a lot of self-confident people, drop names everywhere. We invite people to come and minister and do all kinds of things because we know them. It's not because God said it. It's not. Let me tell you something. I know that there are some Samuel anointings. I know that there are people that come every year. That hadn't happened to me yet. It may have happened to you. That's a Samuel anointing. I get it. Every year, Samuel went to certain places. Every year, without fail, there was the anointing that God put on his life because he moved those people. Those people were movable, and he moved those people. I don't have a Samuel anointing. There are places that I'm going to go one time, never to return again. I know that without a shadow of a doubt. And most of the time, it's places that people do not know me, because of the assignments that God gives me. We need to know the difference. We need to absolutely know the difference. And so I gave you those two to compare because we see it in the pulpit. And people are tired of doc syndrome and diva syndrome and girlfriend syndrome. I don't want any of that in my life. I want to be in the absolute will of God, and I want people in God's pulpit, ministering to God's people and God's creation that is going to impact, impart, and hopefully change the lives of God's people. That's what I'm seeking for. Friendship means nothing when it comes to spirituality for me. It means nothing. So, again, I'm going to go on that again. I'm going to tell you the difference. Natural leaders are self-confident, knows men, makes decisions, ambitious, create methods, enjoys commands, seek personal rewards, and independent. Spiritual leaders are confident in God, knows God, seeks God's will, humble, follow God's example, delight in obedience to God, love God and others, and they depend on God. I got this quote from A.W. Toter. He wrote that this is an old pioneer. Some of these names you all would never even know because they're old pioneers that wrote books on leadership. And I found this, and I thought this to be true as it relates to leadership, and I pray that you enjoy. A true and safe leader is likely to be one who has no desire to lead but is forced into a position by the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit and the press of circumstance. When God is pressing on us to take a more of a leadership role in ministry, he will not be denied. Remember, your purpose is your God-ordained or ultimate reason why you were born. And when God is ready to use us, he triggers the overwhelming desire to come forth, and we will come forth. This is what a Methodist preacher said about preaching and trying to be his best in the shadows of the ministry. And this is a direct quote. This is the will of God for me. I did not choose it. I sought to escape it, but it has come. Something else has come too, a sense of certainty that God does not want me only for a preacher, He also wants me for a leader in Methodism. I feel a commissioning to work under God for revival of this branch of the church, the Methodist. Careless of my own reputation, indifferent to the comments of older and jealous men, I am 36 years old. If I am to serve God, this is the way. I must no longer shrink from the task, but do it. I have examined my heart for ambition. I am certain that it is not there. I hate the criticism I shall evoke and the painful chatter of people. Obscurity, quiet browsing among books, and the service of simple people is my taste. But by the will of God, this is my task. God, help me. Bewildered and unbelieving, I hear the voice of God say to me, quote, I want to sound the note through you. Oh God, did ever an apostle shrink from a task much more? I dare not say no, but like Jonah, I have to do what God is telling me to do. That is a direct quote. He was called to the Methodist Church. You are called to someone, somewhere, somehow. Your natural ability, coupled with the born-again experience, will be the thing that's going to help you be successful. It's so many things I could say. It's so many reasons why this is so important. And I'm going to end it right there in this section because I don't want to go longer than the hour because it's a lot of volume. It's a lot to meditate on. It's a lot to think about. But we must understand that I feel like, and some of you leaders that are on the line will also be in agreement, that this is a serious time for leaders. We've read about things snake bitten and shipwrecked and hands tied behind our back and being persecuted for Christ's sake. I believe with everything in me that the body of Christ and godly spiritual leadership is getting ready to enter into an era just like that during Paul's time and the apostles and all of the great men and women before us, the pioneers, the patriarchs, the matriarchs of our time before us that paved the way for us, not only biblical men and women of God, but natural leaders that we saw, the Martin Luther Kings, the Rosa Parks, all of these great men and women that were part of movements, things that was much bigger than them. Their cause was overwhelming, but their desire to please God was even more overwhelming. And I believe that that's why a lot of pressure is in our bellies, because we're getting ready to give birth to another level, another transition of leadership like never before. And sometimes we can't describe what's going on. Some of us are getting ready to give birth to prophetic leaders and prophetic preaching and prophetic teaching and all of this. Some of us getting ready to give birth to the apostolic, the apostle, and all of that. We've done the work. We've done the work. You don't need a license or to be ordained or to have people lay hands on you. That's wonderful, and that's what we are to do, because we already recognize the work. We already recognize the work long before I was ordained an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist or whatever. I was already working. God found me so doing. He, not after the license came, but I was already entrenched. I was already entangled. I was already tied into doing it. I was doing it when nobody saw it. I was doing it when everybody saw it. I was doing it when people discovered that I was doing it. So by the time it was time to license and do the customary things of our time, which is to lay hands and to say, I recognize this work that you're doing and I thrust you out with my full support and blessing, I was already doing it. And I'm sure of what God has called me into this hour right now. I'm very sure of the apostolic teacher that God has called me into. I'm sure of the apostolic prophet that God has called me into. Now, I believe that the prophet job is so important right now that it's unreal. I believe that we have got to hear the voice of God. We have got to get in the face of God. We have got to get in the word to rightly divide the word of truth. We have to have eyes to see in the spirit realm. We have to have ears to hear in the spirit realm. I believe that this scripture has been taken out of context, but God is getting ready to put it into focus right now. Meaning this, this teaching that I'm doing and these teachings that I've done over the several months, some of this stuff is so old on the teaching line, and some of it, you know, is current but old. But what I'm saying is that nobody has ever said this before. Everybody will make you think that your natural abilities have no place in the kingdom, but it does not make sense. The men and women of God, natural abilities came into play. They used those arts and skills and methods and mindsets with fishing and all of that. When Peter needed to be able to have finances or in the kingdom, God told him to do what he did naturally, fish, go fishing. We've been here all night, toiling all night. And God said, go again. There have been times in my life where the Spirit of the Lord says that, Michelle, go in your office and organize your office, your desk in my bedroom, and I will go in and things that something I had been looking for 6 months ago because of I know organizational skills. When I look at that desk, I'm going to start moving stuff around and opening stuff, and there it is, what I've been looking for. I believe that this scripture comes into play. I have not seen, and ear hath not heard, and neither have it entered into the hearts of man what God has in store for them who believe, but they are spiritually discerned. What I mean is that there are things that's going to be taught to you that you have not heard. You cannot discredit it because the word said, I have not seen it, and your ear have not heard it. It's coming directly from the throne of God, and you're going to have to make a quick decision by way of Holy Spirit to believe that thing and run with it. You're going to have to make that decision because God does not have time to bypass your intellect. He doesn't have time for this because the urgency and the cry of the people have come up before the throne of God, and God is quickly and suddenly raising up leaders that have not said this before. They didn't even know. They don't even know what they're saying themselves. It is God speaking through them, and we want to be clean and available to speak through, for God to speak through us. Don't be afraid, leaders, to lead. If God gave you a place, you need to run it according to the Spirit of God. You need to occupy and hold your territory till it comes. You need to do something totally out of the box. I have not seen, ear have not heard. You need to disrupt the patterns. You need to disrupt the dysfunction that's going on in the body of Christ. We need to shake some things up according to the assignments and the anointings that God has given us in this hour. For truly, truly, the Spirit of the Lord is moving in such a way that, like I said, it's going to shake some things up. I don't believe that people really believe it, but I sense it, and I know it to be true. So I pray as we close out that the Spirit of God said something to you that blessed your heart and truly will cause you to relook at some things, to revisit the natural things that God gave you that we've put, on the back burner. You have to know that as a leader in leadership position that you have to lead. You have influence, and you have the ability, not through witchcraft, not through manipulation or seduction, but by the power of God to cause people that love God, that cause people that see God in you to do what they don't want to do. I've watched it happen over the years, and then they find themselves enjoying it. Glory be to God. So I honor God for this time with us. If you're on the line and you have a comment or something, we're going to yield to you so that you can say what needs to be said and how maybe God answered some questions for you or brought a level of peace and clarity to you. Maybe he catapulted you to the next place. Maybe he encouraged you. Whatever he did, I would love to hear what God has said to you throughout this teaching. And just some feedback. God bless you for your time. I appreciate it. I love you for joining it. We'll be back on the line on Saturday at 10 a.m. for the next part of this teaching aspect. For those of you who do not know, the lessons can be found on our teaching line. The number is 712-432-1202. The access code is 750-773-POUND. You can start from the very beginning, the onset, or you can start at reference number 16, and that will take you through the teaching. If you'll hold the line for just a moment, if you have questions, We'll be glad to answer the questions or make comments. God bless you.